There he is.
Hey.
Down. Down. Thank you for being a friend. Travel around the world and back again. Your heart is true. You're a pal and a confidant. And if we threw a party and invited everyone we knew, you would see the biggest gift would be from me. And the card attached would say, thank you for being a friend.
That's what I'm talking about.
Are you back on the weed?
Am I back on the weed?
Yeah.
I mean, not like all the time.
So yes. So yes.
Oh boy.
You're growing your facial hair out.
No, I just haven't shaved.
Oh.
We did a whole other podcast while we waited for you.
I'm so sorry, bro. My friends, I am so sorry.
It's okay,
brother. I apologize to you. Okay. But the card attached will say thank you for being... Okay.
He's back. Okay. He's here. He found us. Well, we waited for Donald for a half hour. He had to upload his new, something on your computer.
No, for some reason, my computer just, it does this. It just, it upgraded itself.
Daniel can tell you how to turn that off. Daniel, can't you?
I mean, sure. I would just recommend turning it on more often.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's it's way too much bong water.
Are you high now?
No, I'm not high. I'm coming down.
Oh, but your eyes are. I know you very well. I know you. So yes, A and B. I know you very well, and I know the radius of your eyeballs when you're high.
Radius of your eyeballs.
You know
how
much.
That's what I'm talking about.
How much of the eyeball I can see under the eyelid? I know him so well. I can be like, okay, eyelids are that low. It was probably a joint 45 minutes ago.
Dude, we walked into a meeting for the podcast once. I was blitzed out of my mind, not realizing what the meeting was for. Like, not what the meeting was for, but how important the meeting was, I should say. Blitzed out of my mind. Guy goes to the bathroom. Zach turns to me and goes, dude, are you stoned? And I'm like, yeah, I'm so stoned. He's
This was the very first meeting. You were also late, I think.
Yeah. No, I was on time. I was poignant.
Are you talking about the very first meeting with the company we didn't go with?
Yeah, I was on time.
You were late. And
no, I was on time. Fuck you, dude.
I remember the awkward small talk I had with dude waiting for you.
You were early, dude. That's what happened. You were like 5-10 minutes early.
Well, you know what they say, Donald? It's better to be a half hour early than 1 minute late.
That's true indeed. It's true indeed.
I believe that. When you're late to meet me, you're saying I don't respect you.
Oh.
Oh.
No, I don't mean now because you had computer problems. But I mean in life. I think if you're a young person preparing to go out there into the professional world, it's better to be a half hour early than 1 minute late. Right, Joelle? You're wise.
Listen, as a black person, I feel I can never be late. That is what my parents told me. They said, don't give them an excuse not to hire you.
Tell that to my brother.
Well, these are the rules.
Tell that to my brother. I'll be like, we got to be there at 11 o'clock. I'll be like, all right, I'll see you at 11. 1:30 rolls around.
Oh, man.
I'll be like, I'm at the gate. Can y'all let me in?
Perfect.
It's good to see you.
Good to
see you all. We have new merch out. Very exciting, Joelle.
Yes. It'll have been a while by the time this comes to air.
Well, is the first time we're recording audio where the new merch has been out. And there's, for those of you who've been clamoring, there is finally a Joelle Monique, Our Queen t-shirt.
It's perfect. It's so beautiful.
It comes in many colors. I'm going to get yellow.
The yellow looks nice. Okay. All right. It's Sherbert colors.
Does it say on the back, if you know, you know, or something? It should. You're only going to. Only true fans of the podcast are going to know who that queen is.
Shoot, and they'll have to add, this is a great way to spread the word of the podcast. If that's your ministry, you know, wear the shirt, tell people about the pod.
Yes, please.
Hopefully when it's safe to go back to conventions, we'll see your shirt and then we'll recognize you as a fan and it'll warm our hearts. It's going to be great.
I think now, we should start playing. Yes.
I was about to say, I heard it's really, you know, we're getting to that time where people are like, hey, we've got a theater opening. Do you guys want to rent out this theater space?
It's happening. Well, look at all the musicians. Everyone's going back on tour. So I think we should start to think about a tour. I mean,
I agree.
It'll be after I'm done editing my movie in the first quarter of the year. But like maybe the second quarter of the year, we should go on a big ass tour.
Spring 2022.
Yeah. About it. I'm seeing all these tour announcements come out because everyone's like so excited for touring.
I would love that.
Would be fun.
I think that would be a lot of fun, actually.
Yes.
Just, you know, I don't.
I just want to make sure that we have a giant party bus.
Okay, giant party bus.
No, man. I want to sleep and stuff too, man. I'm an old man now. I don't. You know, that'd be fun for like the first 2 days and shit. But then after that, I'm gonna want my naps. And my,
you can park the bus at a hotel every once in a while.
First of all, are you gonna get? Are you saying you're gonna get woozy?
No, I'm not gonna get woozy. But come on, man. I don't think anybody on this freaking podcast right now can sit here and say to me, you know what I miss? The days when I would get blackout drunk, wake up, and do it again the next day.
No,
and then wake up and do it again the next day. I miss those days. I want to go back to that.
Listen, we're not those people anymore, bro.
No.
And I may not be that person anymore, but I'll tell you what. If I could go back and do that again for a month, I would do it in a heartbeat.
I would do it in a heartbeat.
I wouldn't.
You know how the tour buses pull a little trailer?
If you were to go and do what you used to do back in the days right now, they'd be, you know, that the African dudes that are carrying a casket dancing? That would be your funeral. I'm just putting it out there, dog.
Okay. Okay.
You know how you see the giant tour bus pulling a trailer on the back? Mm-hmm. That back thing will be Daniel's bedroom.
Come on, man.
Bouncing all over the road. Hell no.
Come on, man.
No, our tour bus doesn't have to be like we're partying like we're like 20 years old, Donald. It can be a mature adult a tour bus.
Adult tour bus that has freaking groupies and roadies.
No, we're not trying to have groupies and roadies. No. It's going to be like...
We don't have groupies and roadies. What the fuck is the tour for?
Okay. Well, roadies, maybe. Like one. I mean, I'm the roadie. That's literally my job. I'm the fucking roadie.
He's carrying the gear.
Donald, I can't believe you're poo-pooing this dream I've had. I had this dream that we would tour Europe in a giant tour bus and just bond over the sights and try ganja.
Can it be? But if it's a tour, can it be like the tour in Almost Famous, where they're on the bus?
Yeah,
they're going. No,
I veto. Almost Famous is a tragic tale.
Don't you guys want a moment where we're like all mad at each other and in Blue Jean Baby?
All right. Well, I imagine the tour bus will be very expensive anyway, so we'll get rid of the tour bus.
Well, there goes the tour.
Yeah, there goes the tour. I only wanted to fucking
the whole tour
is
gone now. Oh no! Yeah,
the only
I would like
I
to travel across Europe. Guys, let's get it together.
The only reason I wanted to do it was to live my dream of being in a rock band in a tour bus.
It's fun. We should still do it.
You know, with the bunks and it's like there's like those Star Trek doors that open.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. You sleep like a baby.
Yeah. What else should we talk about? There's merch. You get that merch at cottonbureau.com if you're someone who likes merch.
By the time this episode airs, will Black Widow have come out already?
I'm sure, yes.
I can check, but I'm pretty sure it will.
Black Widow comes out July 9th, so absolutely.
Yeah, it'll be out.
So if you want to lay down the spoilers now, you might as well go ahead and tell us
everything.
No,
I'm not trying to ruin it for you three. You're going to love it. You're going to love it. It's very exciting. I'm going with you, Donald. Make sure that you reserve your... Don't forget that we have a date, July 9th.
It really looks awesome. The commercials look really cool.
Yeah. I think if you're a Marvel geek, you're going to go full geek explosion.
Well, okay? I'm ready to...
Are you
I'm ready to explode?
Are you going to scream at the screen?
No, I'm not going to. It's not going to be that, no.
Because you remember when we went to the Star Wars premiere and you embarrassed me in front of Sean Hayes.
What did I do? What did
he
I do?
He was sitting right in front of us, and so was one of the Stranger Things kids. And you were making all kinds of noises. And everyone was turning around, and I was like, bro, you gotta hold it together.
But I was pissed off. I was upset. That's
no,
what
no, 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 no. This is the beginning.
It wasn't that
when
one?
When you first heard the music, you were like standing up like you were at Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh. I thought I was sitting there like, girl, you shouldn't have done that.
No, you weren't. You didn't decide you didn't really like it until the after party when you accidentally talked to the wrong Kathleen Kennedy and spoke to her identical twin.
Why do moments like this continuously happen to me? Oh. Why do they always happen to me?
That's, you know, I feel like if you're Kathleen Kennedy at the Star Wars premiere, everyone's going to be coming up to you. I just don't think the identical twin should be invited. It's too confusing.
No.
I think the identical twin has to stay at home.
Stay home. Stay home.
It's not nice.
Stay home.
It's not nice.
It's not nice to us, and it's not nice to your sister either.
Yeah. You think Chewbacca is going to show up with his twin? No. It's too confusing. All right. Should we talk about Scrubs? 5, 6, 7, 8.
Stories about a show we made. About a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said, here's the stories that you all should know. So gather around to hear our Scrubs Rewatch Show with Zach and Dono.
Mm-hmm. This was a very funny episode.
Yes, I laughed a bunch.
I laughed quite a bit. This has a lot of very funny moments in it. Moments that we're, I'm going to tell you something right now. This show has officially gone off the rails.
Yes. Season 5 is bad shit.
Officially. Officially gone off the rails.
It's crazy.
Like, there's some lines in this that, you know, where the fuck did that come from?
Well, Jiggly Ball. This is the Jiggly Ball episode.
Yes, it is the
which
Jiggly
is a,
Ball
which
episode.
Is a hospital-wide secret that only JD doesn't know, that they're planning on just pelting him. The game is pelting JD with tennis balls.
Nobody really knows what the game is other than the janitor.
Well, they all know how to play. Did the janitor have like a meeting?
No, nobody knows how to play. Everybody just knows that the janitor wants them, when they're talking to JD, to mention the game Jiggly Ball with the orderlies. That's all they know.
Okay, well, so when did they learn to play?
There is no game. They just pelt you. That's not the game. They just pelt you, dude.
Yeah,
that's,
and I'm not mad at anyone. Can you imagine this happening in real life? And everyone where you work stood in a line and pelted you as hard as they could with tennis balls, so much so that you have welts, like open sores.
Like paintball, play paintball.
Yeah, but worse, because Carla's using alcohol on me, on swabs on me. Like, and JD's not mad at anyone. Like, huh, that was crazy, guys.
Not only that, he also has a coffee cup. A coffee, what is it? What is that called? A mug pot. Yeah. A pot around his hand, which he breaks, and now is a bracelet that he can't get off.
Yes. And you've got your arm stuck in the candy vending machine.
That didn't make any sense.
A lot of it didn't make sense.
That didn't make any sense.
What about the whole balancing wheelchair thing? And that JD is balancing so hard that he, but barely keeping it up. And he does it onto the elevator, down to the first floor, down the fucking
down
handicap
the ramp.
Ramp.
Down the ramp.
It's bad shit. We are very close. I'm sensing, my spidey sense is sensing that we are very close to the episode where ostriches steal your Kango and wear it.
It might be coming up soon.
That's how, Joelle, will you find out what episode that is?
Yeah.
I think it's I think Bird is in the title. What?
The fact that JD still has secrets, like him being a gymnast in high school and not wanting that to get out.
Why didn't I want it to be a gymnast to get out? I forgot.
I don't know, but it explains a lot about this.
Because Costa's
going to
find out. He already calls you a girl's name.
Oh.
Are you going to give him any more fuel?
By the way, this is the episode where Sarah was dressed as Turk and it's been edited out. I don't know if you noticed that.
I did notice that.
I it's funny, it happened and it's so seamlessly edited out that I thought, oh, I thought this was that episode. But no, it's been edited out and restored. Yep. My Big Bird 508 is, that's coming up, guys. That is where Scrubs really goes off the rails. That's the episode with Jason Bateman where Donald and I are forced into a tree by ostriches acting like sentries.
Yes. Yes.
By the way, speaking of Bill Lawrence, he taught me how to play pickleball.
Okay, so you have to explain this to me because you were like, yo, you're going to love pickleball.
I want you to know what a good lover I am. You know,
this is the craziest. First of all, sorry, I'll let you get into your story, but this is the craziest thing ever. Zach never hits me up about sports.
Right.
Ever.
Right.
Ever. It might be the occasional you want to play some ping pong.
Right.
This looks like you got to run around. There's some effort involved.
Well, it's funny. It's kind of like you're standing on the ping pong table.
Okay, so tell me about it.
And you're really good at ping pong and you love tennis, and it's a lot of fun. And everyone's talking about pickleball. It's basically a smaller tennis court game. If you don't know what it is, Google it. It's a lot of fun. But it's kind of become this craze. Seniors are playing it because if you love tennis when you were younger and your knees can't do that anymore, it's a way. Like my stepmother's in her late 70s and she is obsessed with it. And of course, people of all ages are playing. Anyway, you know how when you go see something and you like it, a movie or whatever, a concert, and you want to call your lover and be like, baby, you would love this. Well, that's how I felt as I was playing pickleball with Bill. I leaned over to him and said, Donald's going to love this.
Was this while you were holding his pickle?
No, you don't hold anyone's pickle in the game, at least the way he taught me. But we were at a very waspy club. Maybe at other locations you hold pickles.
Okay, what is pickleball?
Basically, picture it like a small tennis, the tennis court, but like a quarter of the size. And it's just fast. And the rackets are smaller, and it's a wiffle ball. So you can like put crazy spin on the ball, Donald. You'll fucking love it because you're a spin master. And it's kind of like, it's, think of it like you're standing on the ping pong table, except obviously not that small.
Okay.
Just if you're looking or you're listening and you're like, what the fuck's he talking about? Just Google image it and you'll see what I'm talking about. It's a lot of fun.
I played a little bit of tennis. I'm starting to play a lot more tennis now.
Will you play with me? Because I'm only here for a little bit and I would love to have some, I think you need to get your quality time with me in before I leave the state.
I agree with you 100%. Why don't we make that happen? Why don't you come to the tennis thing tomorrow?
Well, I need you to manifest it, bro, okay? Because daddy's not here that long.
Come tomorrow.
You're going to miss me. You're going to miss me.
Come tomorrow, damn it.
To tennis?
Yeah.
I will.
Aw.
JD, okay, so I'm fondling you with the newly edited moment out, and I'm feeling you up.
Yes.
Your nice, perky bees.
They look like C's, but they're really bees.
They're definitely a perky bee. Especially this season. You're all trim and you've got pectoralis majors.
You're all trim now. You guys, this dude sends me freaking photos. Enough's enough, bud.
I don't send him anymore because on the last time we recorded, you said that you were feeling that it was too homoerotic.
I have like six or seven of them.
I don't know who to send them to. I send them to my girlfriend and I get appreciation. And who else can I send them to? You. Can't send them to like, what am I going to do with them? I'm trying to get an attaboy from you.
Attaboy.
My whole life. I'm just trying to get attaboys from you.
Attaboy.
Okay, so back to the show Scrubs. Deadwood, we bring up. Did you know cowboys used to curse?
You know what? Even if you didn't watch the show, the reference is so JD and Turk. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, even if you didn't watch Deadwood and you didn't know that cowboys cursed and everything like that. Just the reference. Did you know cowboys? It's so non sequitur. It means
Well, I imagine Deadwood was a very popular show at the time. I've never seen Deadwood, but I know I remember
the cowboys curse
to this day.
I remember there's a lot of cursing, and I love Timothy Olyphant. As you know, we made a movie together called The Broken Hearts Club.
Mm. Yeah.
I've never seen Deadwood. Should I see Deadwood?
Yes.
It's good.
Really?
Yeah. I consider it a prestige HBO. Show.
How many seasons are there? Three or so?
Three? I think it's three.
Yeah, I'll double check, but not that many.
Was unique about it was the language. Like, they didn't speak like we always think cowboys spoke.
It was almost Shakespearean.
Like, I'm gonna fucking
it was almost
you.
Shakespearean. It was, no, they said shit like that too, but it was almost Shakespearean the way they talked.
Hmm. All right.
Yeah, three seasons. It's on HBO Max right now. If the people want to watch it, it was coming out around like the time of Breaking Bad and stuff, and it was not like the glossy sort of Western that we were used to at the time. If you think of like a Tombstone or something like that, right. Which sort of like the last Westerns of the cinema age until, you know, recently.
Is there sex?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
We spent a lot of time in a whorehouse.
Yes. Oh, okay.
Yes. A brothel?
Yeah, there's a lot of nudity. Yeah,
Joelle, we don't say whorehouse anymore.
I'm so well, we will cut it.
We say place. No, we don't. We say place where
sex workers
rent vulvas. That's the correct way to say it. That's the appropriate way to say
it. So I gotta go to my local vulva dealership.
Yes, it's a Daniel. It's a vulva dealership.
I'm prepared.
Oh boy.
Oh yeah. Well, I'm in. I started watching Bosch because everyone said to watch Bosch.
What is Bosch? What is that?
Bosch is like an LA neo noir detective show. My parents really like it. A lot of people are talking about it. You follow a murder mystery over the course of each season. And I like it so far.
Okay.
We
were talking about how JD was a gymnast in high school, and then we kind of left it alone. But it explains a lot about, you know, your pratfalls and all of that stuff and how he's able to dangle so well. And, you know,
you'd think that he would be a bit more coordinated, though. He's very goofy and clumsy.
I mean, how many in many schools, I'm sure there are not enough boys to fill a men's gymnastics team. So maybe he wasn't very good, but he was still on the team.
I remember we had to take gymnastics in as part of my gym phys ed thing. And we had to like learn a floor routine. I remember thinking this is so ridiculous.
Wait, you had to learn a floor routine?
Yes.
Yeah.
In
public
sorry.
High school in New Jersey, you had to take gymnastics and like they set up the whole gym with all the different things.
Wait a second.
Yeah. I didn't wear like bedazzled clothing or anything.
Are
but
you
I
telling
had...
me there was a moment in time where you did a floor routine?
Yes, I did.
Did you do the horse?
No, but I chose. Now I had.
No, you did not. No, you did not. No, you did not. No, you did not. Please tell me this is a lie. This is true.
No, we
must
didn't,
tell story.
We didn't pick music. But I remember you had to like you had to put together a routine that was enough points. You know, and you had to do like. But I wasn't a gymnast, so it was ridiculous. It was like three somersaults into a cartwheel, jump, leap, land. It was like so it was like something that a beginner could do, but at least showed that you were trying.
I'm so happy I did not go to public high school in Jersey, if this is what.
Yeah, you had to do it. You had to.
Did anybody ever take it really seriously?
There were girls particularly who were like, you know, had done gymnastics as kids who were naturally amazing. And I would try and copy them and then get hurt.
Okay.
How about that girl? What's her name? Simone Biles?
Yeah.
Real doing, deal Holyfield.
She's doing stuff that they're like, this is too dangerous to be done. She's doing it.
Yeah.
Not since Nadia, when she was standing on beams and flipping over and stuff. I don't think they've banned a move since then.
I always get so nervous when they're on the balance beam doing that stuff. Like they're going to break their spine.
Speaking of nervous energy, when people fall, do you feel it anywhere in your body?
Yeah, I think I hold my neck. Like I'm like, oh, my spine. Your spine feels so fragile at the back of your neck.
I feel it in my balls.
Even if it's a woman?
No matter who it is, no matter who falls, I feel it in my balls.
Do you laugh when people fall?
When it's funny. Right? Because there's time when people fall where it's like, ooh, that looked like it really, really hurt. But then there's time
when
people fall.
I think I'm more likely to laugh at an ice skater falling than a gymnast.
No, not if an ice skater falls on their face.
No, but I mean, when I think of Olympic gymnastics and they fall, I feel so sad for them. But I'm more apt to giggle when an ice skater falls.
Oh, man.
Horrible. Did you ever see Ice Castles?
No. What's Ice Castles?
You've never seen Ice Castles? Oh, have boy. Any of you guys ever seen Ice Castles?
No.
With the theme song, please don't let this feeling end. Yes. You know Robbie Benson? Da 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 da. Y'all never seen Ice Castles,
no.
I don't believe
no
this.
Idea.
Wait, Robbie Benson, you know who Robbie Benson is though, right?
Yeah, I can picture him.
You don't know who Robbie Benson is?
I know who Robert Benson is. I'm older than they are.
Robert Benson, oh, Robbie Benson.
From the 1978 film, yeah. Ice Castles, of course.
He had blue eyes. I remember he had really blue eyes, right?
Yes. He was also the Beast's voice. He was also the Beast's voice. Oh, in,
he was.
In Beauty and the Beast.
Okay.
Look him up. Because I can't picture his face. Robbie Benson.
Yeah.
He was in
all his other movies.
Wasn't he in Bank Shot or something like that?
Yeah, he was also in Most Extreme Primate. That's sick.
He's in Running Brave and The Chosen and One on One.
This guy has a long.
Dude, this dude was the king, dude.
He works, yeah.
Oh yeah. You gotta Google old images to get his face. Yeah.
You don't remember Robbie? Y'all are freaking hating.
Here he is,
on...
shirtless with a surfboard. Nobody's hating. Here he is, shirtless with a surfboard, guys.
Anyway, Ice Castles, it's a movie about this girl from a small town. She's an ice skater. She has her chance to make it all the way to the Olympics or some shit like that. And one night, and she forgets about everybody from her town. It's a lot like La La Land, except one night she's out freaking ice skating and she falls and hits her head and goes blind. And it's her trying to figure out how to, you know... get it all back.
Does it end with her doing the big ice skating routine blind?
You already saw it.
No, I'm guessing what the most obvious answer of the plot would be.
You saw the movie, didn't you?
Does everyone give her a standing ovation and someone has to like let her know that she's done it and everyone's happy?
There's a really sad moment that happens when she gets a standing ovation, actually.
She does get a standing ovation, doesn't she?
She does. They even throw roses.
Yeah, and what happens? What happens?
What do you think happens?
Does she die?
She slips on the rose.
She falls again, and then she gets her sight back.
She falls on the roses. That's right. She slips and falls on the roses.
And gets her sight back?
No, she doesn't get her sight
does
back.
Does she die?
But Robbie Benson comes out onto the ice.
And then there's a sequel where she learns how to fucking still skate while dead.
About that.
As a ghost, they animate her dead corpse.
Oh, no.
It's like Weekend of Bernie Ice Cube.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Or do not. There is no try.
All right, back to the show, Scrubs, everybody. Colonel Doctor is finally introduced.
He is introduced. Not only is he introduced, but we explain why we call him Colonel Doctor.
Yes. And just he gives the okay sign. Is that a Colonel Sanders thing? Did he used to do that?
I don't know. I don't remember.
He does this in the show, which now I think is like a KKK thing.
Yeah. White power?
Yeah.
Isn't this white power now, Joel?
It sure is.
Well, I don't know why Colonel Doctor's throwing up fucking white power signs. The plot.
Well, it wasn't
plot thickens.
The plot.
Yes, it's new. It's new.
Or maybe it's upside down, the white power
thing.
No, it's not.
So you can't really do okay anymore, huh? It's out.
You can do okay. You can't do white power, though. This is white power.
I think it's best not to do it and just not, you know, people are trying to interpret it and people are like, it's not what it means. And it is what it means. And
yeah, I think we just got to stay away from the okays. I mean, not that I was ever anyone throwing the okay sign. I mean, have you ever thrown an okay sign in your life?
Yes.
No. How you doing, man?
None of you?
I'm okay.
I've never done that.
Nobody How here is like, sounds good to me.
Never done this.
No. Yeah, probably back in my softball years, but.
What? I have never done this in my life.
Well, there you go.
How are you? Okay.
Shucking corn.
And yet I'm still mad about it. I'm still mad that they've co-opted it and we can't use it.
Yeah, okay. So we should talk about something else that they co-opted and that can't be used again.
White
so Boba Fett's ship is no longer called Slave One anymore.
What do they call it now?
Boba Fett Starship.
What?
That's not the name of the ship. They had a name.
Why was it called Slave One?
Because that was what he chose it to be called, Slave One.
But I mean,
it's a galaxy that has slaves and everything like that in it. And his ship just so happens to be Slave One. Robot Chicken does a great freaking sketch where Lando and Boba Fett are standing at the doors of Cloud City. And Lando goes to Boba Fett, great ship, Boba. I'm not sure about the name, though.
That's interesting. Yeah, on the, I saw what Donald's talking about. There's on the toys, on the box of the toys, they've removed the name Slave One.
Okay.
That's interesting.
All right, we'll be right back to talk about more Jiggly Ball after these words.
And we're back! Elliot's high-pitched scream. That shit was funny. Especially when she does it and you don't understand a word she says, yeah. But Carla does. That shit had me rolling.
Yeah, Ed, Carla translates for her. What about when the janitor says, my TV doesn't get the news, just the Bible channel and some kind of Chinese boxing?
Yeah.
I don't even know what that means. I think Neil just came up with that on the spot.
Just like you came up with, I can't feel, I don't know.
I'm not even doing this.
That's right, yeah. What is the actual line?
I say,
I think there may be something wrong with my spine.
There might be something wrong with my spine because I'm not doing that.
Right.
That's definitely one of my jokes because I've done that before with you. Like, I'm not even telling my leg to do this right now. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm dancing. Yeah.
But where did that come from? That came out of nowhere.
I don't know. It's just a ZB random.
This whole episode has a bunch of random shit in it.
So Kelso...
hides as a painting. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, as a mural. He hides in the mural. By the way, they just threw up the mural randomly. And we're all supposed to just assume the mural's always been there. But we've seen that wall 1,000 times and there's no mural on it. But in this episode, there's a mural there.
Isn't it there for the rest of the run?
I think they probably left it up for the season at least. But like all of a sudden in this episode, because they clearly came up with the joke in the writer's room, they just decided, oh, now there's an elaborately painted mural on the side of the hospital. We learned that Kelso was in Nam and that in Nam they pulled out his fingernails.
Yes.
We also learned that he was caught cheating and forced a diamond stud earring into his ear.
Yes.
But he kept in the whole thing.
You see it bleeding. That's how much he didn't want Enid to know that he likes to sleep with vulva rentals.
Mm-hmm. Oh, goodness. A callback.
But this is how Elliot gets her job back at the end of it all. You know?
Yes, because she catches him. Now, why would Kelso go to a free clinic? I mean, I feel like he could probably write his own prescription to get rid of VD.
I don't know.
Can doctors write their own prescriptions?
I don't know. Are they not allowed
that to? I don't know.
Can you look that up, guys?
We'll see.
Like, let's say you're a doctor and you get VD. Are you not allowed to write yourself a prescription for VD be gone medicine?
Hey, so I have a question. Were you laughing when Elliot said, "Are they trying not to laugh at the word duty?"
Yeah, I was definitely laughing.
I was laughing. I was laughing too. I was literally.
Duty is a funny word when someone just brings it up out of nowhere.
So funny,
right? I mean, you can't just say duty these days and not expect people to laugh. Right? It's just a word that's just not fashionable to say anymore. Right, do you have people in your life that use duty not as a fecal matter term?
No, not as?
Yeah.
No. My kids use it as a fecal matter term all the time. But
no,
not
I'm
as
saying a- when – do you have anyone in your life who's like every time I pass duty-free in the airport, I giggle. And I make the same joke either to myself or to my girlfriend. I wish I was duty-free.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, if you're listening, every time you pass duty-free, I want you to turn to your friend or significant other and say, I wish I was duty-free. Under federal law, Donald, physicians in the United States are not prohibited from self-prescribing medications. State laws governing physicians, however, may vary greatly, and some may prohibit physicians from prescribing, dispensing, or administering certain medications to themselves or family members. I guess it depends on where you live, Donald.
Okay, so let's talk about the theme of this episode. The theme of this episode really is, you know, at least the A storyline is that Kelso really doesn't care once he leaves the hospital or that he puts up a front like, All my troubles are gone once I get out of here.
Yes, I leave it all at the office.
Do you feel like you have that in your life? Any of you can answer this question. But do you feel like you have that in your life now? Like when you're done with work, don't you feel like there's still more work to be done?
I have not mastered this craft. My father has it down packed, and he like for a long time has been like, you gotta get it. You gotta figure out how to just leave it at the door so you can just go on and live the rest of your life. And I don't know how my email is dinging, and I'm worried about, did everything get done and did everyone have a good time and are we coming in on budget? Like, it's just, I don't know how.
Same, can't not respond.
Yeah. What about those people you send an email to and they don't reply till like Monday morning? I've never been that guy.
Like, when's the last time you went on a vacation, a real vacation, where you were like, I'm not even going to answer my phone. Nobody's going to hit me up.
I never do that.
It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen, right?
Even if I'm on some beautiful beach somewhere and I have my phone with me, I don't not reply to an email. But that would be probably good to do. I know my shrink does that. He tells me that he goes like for like 10 days or 2 weeks once a year, and he puts his phone in the hotel safe, and his wife has a phone in case, you know, there's an emergency, she can be reached, and he doesn't look at his phone for like that long. I can't imagine doing that.
It sounds really nice. I aspire.
I think it would make me anxious.
Right. But then Kelso can come to work the next day and then go through everything he goes through and then once again turn it off once he leaves.
Well, I think also he's talking about the decisions that this man has to make. They're trying to Bill, I think, is obviously trying to humanize Kelso a bit here and say the decisions that he has to make are so enormous. And he has to look at the greater good. So the fact that he has to kiss the ass of this potential financial donor who could, if that person is happy, then give money to reopen the neonatal unit. He has to make these giant life and death decisions. And in a way, he couldn't function if he didn't find some coping mechanism, some way to leave it all on the front steps. But we see in the end that that's not true. He's still
not right.
He is human. I think this is, you know, this is a beautiful episode for Ken. He was incredible. Mm-hmm. But you really see that he's putting on a facade that we, the younger doctors, might see him as heartless. But he's actually putting on a front.
Mm-hmm. It was actually a really good episode. Like, you know, I was dreading when we got to this point in the show, when the show started to get wacky and silly, because our jokes were genuine before this. Like, they were genuine jokes that we earned, and now we're just making slapstick. We're being really goofy, and I was worried that I wasn't going to like the show when we got here. But I'm laughing really, really hard, and somehow there's still moments in the show that make you say, oh shit, that's right, this is Scrubs.
I look at season 5 as noticing a turn. I mean, Billy will even say he had to find a way to make it new and interesting for himself, but I noticed that it's taken a sillier turn, but I am still really enjoying the season.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I'm still laughing so hard, you know. I was afraid that I wouldn't be. I was afraid that I was going to be like, oh man, this is, come on, man. We look at us just not really, and we're not phoning it in, but we're like, so.
I don't think we're phoning in. If we were phoning it in, I think then that would be a reason to be like, oh, this has jumped the shark. What it is just it's a tone shift a bit so far.
But everybody is so gung-ho with this tone shift.
Yeah, because we're all excited, and we're all clearly finding it funny. I mean, what about chest hands?
Right.
Okay, we go to a fantasy where I've had Elliot's hands put on my chest.
Yes.
She's got stubs.
Yeah.
At
yes.
her wrists.
Yes.
And she can't enjoy the popcorn, so I have to feed her.
Yes.
With my chest hands.
Yes. What about the pool? The four pool joke. What is it? The hotties at the pool. There ain't no women at the pool. There's always women at the pool. Not the YMCA pool on Sundays. There you go. You can go there. You ever been to the YMCA pool on Man Night? That shit is like, what the hell, dude? Exchange.
Well, I have no idea. It's just a gay night at the YMCA joke.
No, yes, that is a gay joke. Yes, yeah. But it's like it comes out of nowhere. out of nowhere. None of these jokes.
Yeah, a lot of it's out of nowhere. What about when I say I would never swim in a pond? They're infamous for serpents.
They're infamous for serpents. Come on. What do we do?
But you're saying, what are we, you're saying, what are we doing? And I'm sitting here laughing my ass off. It's funny. Who cares?
Exactly. I wonder for the fans' point of view. I wonder if they could tell the tonal shift. I'm sure they can.
Of course. But, I mean, think about it with shows that you watch that aren't one that you started, and you go, okay, this season's a little different. I'm sensing they shifted a little bit, but I'm still enjoying it, you know?
Right.
I think it's the case with Mandalorian, your favorite show. I think, like,
well, I was about to say,
definitely changed tones for me a bit. I was still enjoying it, but it wasn't exactly the same show, in my opinion.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say, it really does, usually when shows shift tonally, the show has jumped the shark or it's over. I feel like we still have a ton of story to tell. It's just going to be a new way of us telling it.
We were talking about Dave, the show before you came on the air, and which I think is fucking amazing. But definitely there's a slight shift this season so far. It's even darker and weirder, but I'm still enjoying the hell out of it.
Right. My point is, I feel like it's rare that it's like that. And I was so worried that when we got here, I was going to be like, maybe this isn't the show that I thought it was. But it still is. It's funny. We still, you know, it might be cartoony, but it's so funny. It makes me laugh so hard.
I think we were all having a blast. I mean, I think that's why it shows. We were having a lot of fun.
Yeah, but even my wife is still laughing. My wife says, she's like, what the hell is going on here? But she's laughing so hard, you know?
I know, because it's so
and she's
silly.
And she's my, you know, what is it? My meter.
Barometer. Your barometer.
Thank you. She's my barometer on what's funny and what's not funny. Because if she laughs, I know there has to be some funniness to it. And she's cracking up.
Yeah. They're infamous for serpents.
They're infamous for serpents.
What about the doctor who says, I'm going to have to numb you. Num, 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 num,
num, num, num, num, num, num, num, num, num, num. That was a joke before.
Where?
Okay, so it was, I got a case, doctor, please, I got a case of the gotta see ems. Remember that one where Elliot's showing everybody her boobs in the hospital?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's early on.
Right. So I got a case of the gotta see ems. One of the other jokes, one of the alternates was, I got a case of the num-nums. And she goes, the num-nums? He goes, yes. Num-num-num-num-num-num-num-num-num.
Num-num-num-num-num-num-num-num-num-num. What about when the janitor goes, I'm busy cleaning, and then everyone just starts laughing? But I can't decide if he's meant to be a good janitor, because I think he's, I don't know.
Well, he's definitely a leader. He's definitely a leader if he can get all of these people together for a jiggly ball.
No, I mean, he's a fake jiggly ball. He's well connected, obviously, but he makes so many jokes about all the work he doesn't do, but he seems to always be working.
Yeah.
But then he has a lot of side projects.
Yeah. And
like
he's masterful.
Squirrel Army.
No, but that was season two.
Yeah, but I'm sure he still has and maintains his Squirrel Army. Or does he sell it? Oh, I think he mentioned selling it for something.
Yeah, for I don't know. I don't want to be wrong. Let's ask Trevor. Can we ask Trevor?
Sure.
He does sell. That's an episode we already covered.
Yeah,
He sells the Squirrel Army to...
Was it for
something for Elliot? He's trying to get Elliot gift.
Was it to buy Steven?
I thought it was for Elliot. I'll look it up. It's here somewhere. Hold on.
I think it was to buy Steven.
No.
He owed Rowdy. Is
that what it was? Because he owed Carla a favor or something like that. Because he was scared. I don't know. I don't remember. It's crazy how we're going over this show and already we're forgetting what we went over.
Well, we don't have the greatest memories you and I put together. You know?
No, you were right, Zach. The Squirrel Army is subsequently traded over the internet for Steven, the replacement for Rowdy.
There you go. One of us smokes a lot of weed and one doesn't.
Stop it. Oh my God.
You know, Zach, when we put our heads together, we really come up with nothing.
Yep. 1 + 1 equals 0. All right, should we go to break and then we'll have a guest, right, Joelle?
Yes, we do.
We'll be right back. Oh, Sorry, Donald. I'm just sitting down. I'm just sitting down.
It's just Zach's abs, everybody. Just bust them out.
Donald, did you shift? Did you just shift a little bit?
I didn't shift. I got full on erection.
What you trying to get into, Adesha? What you trying to do?
I'm trying to get into those ab crevices with this dick, dog.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I like it.
And we're back.
That went straight to the top.
Wow.
Daniel, you got to put that preamble in there. That was good. All right. We have a caller. Let's bring them in, my friend Daniel.
We got a caller. Gave us a holler. We can talk Star Wars or sing show tunes, you know, like a baller. Smoke some jazz cabbage, maybe talk about the episode. So come on, Joel, let's get the show on the road.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Ryan Quijada. What up, kiddos?
Hi. Hi,
we're
going
to keep it G-rated today, Ryan, for you. You got your kiddos with you.
We'll get the kids just out for a little while.
It's all good.
Hi, guys. How are you? Welcome to the program.
Hi. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
And what's your is that your wife's name,
this
I'm assuming?
This is Lynn.
Nice to meet you guys.
Hi, Lynn. Ryan and Lynn have two adorable children on their laps, so Donald will not say anything inappropriate.
I'm really going to town on these pretzels.
It's going to be hard. Real big kid. Where are you guys calling us from?
San Diego.
No.
San Diego in the house.
The most beautiful place.
I do love
place.
Me some San Diego.
It's the most beautiful place. I mean, it's really where God invented, it's really where God wanted us to live.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, it's the perfect temperature.
Always.
It's the most beautiful place.
Oh, I was representing as well, too. Donald.
Oh,
nice. I like that. Star Wars in the house. Right. Well, why do I keep saying in the house?
Oh, you're stuck on it now.
I know why. I have an idea why you might be doing that. You want to know?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're stuck on it. Like, it's of this particular episode, it's become your What You Talking About, Willis.
What you talking about, Willis Adelshoon?
Okay, Ryan, welcome to the program. Do you have a question for us?
Yeah, I was going to start with showing you guys a picture a little bit first. Let's see. There's my profile pic.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Very cool.
Do that in a little bit.
It looks like Tall Doctor, but it's Tall Graduate.
Yes.
It is indeed. A little bit of my background. I am a physical therapist, but as of this year, stay-at-home dad. For obvious reasons. And that picture was about a week or so before my PT school graduation when we got our gowns. And that was with one of my best friends from PT school, Albert. He and I were big fans of the show, and we looked at each other and said, world's most giant doctor of physical therapy. Done with it.
Nice, man. I appreciate the shout out. And you're clearly a Star Wars fan, which Donald will and Joelle will appreciate.
Oh yeah.
Not as big as fans of you guys, but yes.
Yes. You can't stump them. Do you know what the name of Boba Fett's ship that was just changed because of the name of the ship? It was just changed to something else?
I do not.
I do. It was Slave One. That's the level of knowledge I have.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan, go ahead. Do you have a question for us?
You just make me angry sometimes.
I know.
Man.
I love you.
Just,
I love you.
Just make me.
Just hold it in. Hold
yes,
it
I
in
do.
And use it.
Yeah. My question kind of ties into my career story as well, too, a little bit. But you know, of course, the pandemic that has been a career shift for me. But I've also had another career shift in actually going into physical therapy. You know, I always knew I wanted to go into medicine and be a healthcare provider, but my wife was the one who kind of directed me towards physical therapy. We started dating when she was a second year medical student, and I was studying to go into medical school. But I just saw the rigor and you know how much she was studying for her board exams, and you know, I kind of thought, I don't know if I wanted that kind of lifestyle. And so she had worked amongst physical therapists in the hospital while she was rotating, and yeah, she kind of steered me that direction. And you know, I haven't looked back since and haven't regretted my decision. You know, I'm still in the healthcare field, got my doctorate, of course, still. So I was just wondering for you guys, was there any moment in your guys' careers or with like a role or anything that caused you guys to kind of like shift or maybe change career path a little bit?
No, you know, I always knew I wanted to be an actor since I was five. Yeah. I had been saying, you know, I'm going to be an actor when I get older.
Cool.
That was one thing that when my friends were like, I don't know what I want to do. I was very clear on it, and I had already started making moves to make that dream come true at a very young age.
Awesome.
You know, I talk about stop motion a lot on this podcast, and, you know, I like to think that would have been my career path if I had not, animation would have been my career path if I had not chosen to be an actor. But there's never been a moment where I was like, you know what, I'm just going to shift careers and change what I do. Or what I want to do, because it's always been acting.
Cool. Yeah, me too, man. I can't say that. I know that's been a choosing careers can be really stressful and confusing for a lot of people. I guess I've been always blessed that the second I knew it was a job, I've said on here, the second I saw my dad doing community theater for fun, he was a trial attorney, but his hobby was doing the local plays. And I was like 8 years old. And I remember thinking like, wait a second, hold on. This is a job? Like, you can do this. This could be something that you're allowed to do and you make money doing this. I never looked back. I knew that I would somehow be involved in attempting to entertain people.
You've done really well with it.
Thank you so much. I've liked physical therapists. It feels nice.
Oh God, it does.
Right? When they get into that spot, I had a rotator cuff injury from skiing.
I have a rotator cuff injury right now.
You do, baby? You got to take a Theragun and put it on there. My therapist is the one who introduced me to the Theragun. I don't even know if they're a sponsor on here anymore. They used to be, but that's a great product. And it felt so nice when he did it.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Could you lay, just going like this hurts.
I feel it, but the doctor told me eventually, he's like, I did everything. I did everything you can do. PRP, is that what something, Ryan?
That is.
I did everything you can do. And he said, the only thing left to do is surgery. And he goes, you don't want to have shoulder surgery. It's a fucking nightmare. So I just live with it.
Yeah. Surgery is one of those things that they sometimes don't get it right, huh?
No, yeah. It's just that, well, Ryan can answer better than I do, but he said you're at least 6 months in a sling. And I was like, I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want rotator cuff surgery. Especially if you're active and
he said, you know, you have to peel the muscle back to fix it and then put it back. And he's like, if you can operate with it and you're just, he's like, just don't do that. So I don't raise my hand anymore.
Right.
So basically if I'm called upon, right. Yeah, if I have a question, I go lefty. All right. Well, Ryan, you got another question for us?
I do. And this one actually is directly related to an episode of Scrubs. The episode was in season 8, which I know is a little bit further along where you guys are. The episode was My Cuz, if you guys recall that episode or not. But that one involved the Wiener Cuz pledge.
Wiener Cuz, yes. Yes.
That had to be one of the funniest episodes of TV I've ever watched. Of any show.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. And
do you have wiener cousins in your life?
I was about to say, do you have a wiener cousin?
I hope this is leading to you having a wiener cousin.
I truly hope this means that you have docked.
Yes. No. Wiener cousin is not docking, Donald. It means that you have
connected though.
No.
Hooked up.
You won't recall. It means that you have
a shared...
occupied the same vulva.
Yeah.
Not at the same time, but
no,
during.
No, at different times, at different times.
Yeah. Certified pre-owned vulva.
Yes. So, Ryan, is this leading to you having a share of vulva with a friend story? Because we'd love those.
No, not no. But I was just dying with laughter when they were showing all the background players, especially Colonel Doctor and Snoop Dogg, resident at the time, were. Yeah, they were enacting the, you know, vow or pledge or whatever, the shake.
Right.
And what got me was just the last scene when it was Kelso and the janitor enacting the wiener cuz.
I don't even remember. We haven't gotten that far.
Yeah.
Donald and I are not wiener cousins.
Okay.
No, I don't think we, and I don't know that we will ever be wiener cousins. But
well, now I can say that we won't be, but.
Well, you never know. You might.
We might have been wiener cousins and not known it.
You might jump back into my past and get with some of the young hotties that I grew up with, or I don't know.
I don't think that's in my future, but
I don't think it is either.
It's pretty hard to be, you know. I think good friends have a rule saying that. Obviously, things happen accidentally. You didn't know that you had vacated that particular Volvo.
Well, I was just wanted to find out who you guys thought was there. Kelso and the janitors shared Volvo.
That's a good question. Who would Kelso and janitor have both been with? Laverne.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Gotta be Laverne at the pool party. Ooh. At the above ground pool party.
Oh my gosh.
Like, because we never know what goes down at those above ground pool parties. Mm-hmm. And we assume that it's definitely sexual and that there's drugs involved.
That's hilarious. I love that. A bunch of doctors high on drugs fucking. You can't beat that with a baseball bat.
Yeah, I would love that. That would be a great. Everyone's like, make a Scrubs movie. I would make the above ground. I would make the Laverne's above ground pool party movie.
The movie's basically a comedy for the first 45 minutes, and it's just straight porn for the last 25 minutes.
I don't know if Aloma Wright's going to be down with that. Do you want to make the call? Because as you recall, she is a church-going woman. I don't think she's going to be down for part two. What if we're like, Aloma, you're only in part one? By the way, if we did make a Scrubs movie, it would be a great sort of spine, if you will, to for the film, the structure, to make it all cutting in and out of one insane day at Laverne's above ground pool party.
Yeah.
Like it splinters off from, but it all takes place at the pool party, and it splinters off to all the mayhem that happened. Kind of like that movie you love with Rogan and Franco made about the end of the world.
I love that movie.
All right, it's time for San Diego's favorite segment, everyone. It's time to fix your life. All right, Ryan, you seem like you got a great life. You live in San Diego, for goodness sakes. Everyone would love to live in San Diego. Do you live in La Jolla?
No.
Okay, well, move to La Jolla because that's the best neighborhood in San Diego.
Where are you living in San Diego?
Del Cerro.
Okay. You ever go to the old Globe Theater?
I've walked past it many times.
All right. Well, Donald wants you to go see a play there because he wants to play.
They do a lot of Shakespeare there.
Not just Shakespeare. They do regular non-Shakespearean plays as well, Donald, I believe, like yours. Steve Martin wrote it.
Yeah. Very nice. You didn't go see it.
But it is a La Jolla Playhouse as well. Great place to see theater and a great place to go to the beach. And it's a beautiful place. I feel like we're doing an ad for San Diego. How can we help you, Ryan? We want to fix your life, even though your life seems to be amazing. Beautiful wife, two children. You got a smile on your face. You can't possibly need anything fixed.
Thank you. I was actually contemplating this section for a while. And originally I wanted to ask something about kids, but I think we had that covered. But, you know, since I had the chance to talk with you guys as artists, I was thinking of, you know, what does it take to start a podcast? I've thought of some idea one, you know, during my time at home, and was just curious on your guys' thoughts on that.
Well, you got the hardest part down. You came up with an idea for a podcast. That's the hardest thing to do. It's easy to say I want to start a podcast, but then it's like, well, what am I going to make the podcast about? You just said you thought up the idea during your quarantine. It's you know, we got very lucky. We have Daniel and Joel, and they handle a lot of the business for us. I mean, not business, a lot of the
Michigas.
Thank you for us. But you know, to start up a podcast, one, you need an idea, and two, you need people that want to listen to it, and you need to find a platform to use to deliver it to people. I mean, that's really all I can say. We got lucky. Somebody said to us, we really want to do a podcast with you guys. And we were like, we really want to do a podcast with you. And that's how iHeart happened. It doesn't happen like that for everybody. So,
you know, I think that if you have a good idea and it's something you're passionate about, first of all, it should be something you're super interested in. Donald and I are super interested in being silly and laughing with each other. We're very lucky that we have going through the show to help us because it kind of gives us a framework to of things to talk about, but also we could just sit here and giggle with these two characters all day long. It's something we really enjoy. So I think your audience, you have to talk about something that there will be an audience that'll be just as interested in the subject matter as you are, and something you look forward to doing, because it's not zero amount of work. You know, it does take some work to put it out, and of course Joelle and Dan will do a lot of work behind the scenes to make it all sound good. Mm-hmm. But that's my advice, is that if you're going to do it and take it on, to have it be something that you're just could talk endlessly about, and also to surround yourself with good people who are great conversationalists, because as we've said a few times, Donald and I love to chat and be silly, but we pulled Joelle and Daniel onto the show and pulled them from behind the scenes to in front of the scenes because we find them so genuinely interesting and good people to chat with. What you trying to get in? Wait, hold on. That's not the one I meant.
Wu-Tang forever.
I can't find you. Honor me, Daniel.
You honor me.
There he is.
You honor me. Do you want me to get you some stickers and we can like put the little stickers on?
Yeah,
and
write first
on
of them? All, you're supposed to come fix the pad. You're supposed to update the pad. You're supposed to put labels on the pad. And now I have to.
I'm supposed to put labels on the pad?
Yes.
Oh, for God's
You think sakes. I've got a brother P touch? Daniel, bring. You know how when people tweet shit, they're like, they put the clap sign after?
Yes.
Daniel, bring over your P-touch.
You should do it all at the same time. Where it's bring my over God. Your P-touch.
Okay, let me try that. Bring over your P-touch.
There it is.
That's what it's
okay.
God.
Okay, now when your podcast becomes a global hit like ours, Ryan, you're going to need a sound pad, and you're going to need an engineer who refuses to update it. Okay? That's part of the sound pad. Make sure, Ryan, that you get an engineer who gets you a sound pad that takes a computer programmer to operate, because it's so complicated. In honor of Daniel not updating the sound pad, I'm just going to hit a random button and see what comes up. Okay, there's a button I never use.
Appropriate. You're welcome.
This is my new favorite. We got Poindexter on the violin, and Lewis and Gilbert will be joining in. From little old me, Lamar.
We got something on the guitar, and the rap by little old me, Jamal. Lamar.
All right, Ryan, you're welcome. You're welcome. Good luck with your podcast.
Thank you.
And I hope that
enjoy San Diego, man.
I hope you find an engineer who can give you a sound pad that needs to be updated. God. What is it? Donald, we're doing a show here. What's going on?
I got a kid in here. What's up, bud? Can I play some Cheez-Its? Yes, go.
What did he ask?
For Cheez-Its.
Cheez-Its?
Cheez-Its sound good right now.
Yo,
Cheez-Its
this kid
great
is
great right now.
This kid's getting good at basketball, man.
He is?
Like, for real. Like,
I believe it.
He's starting to shake and bake. He's starting to shoot. It looks like he knows how to shoot now. You know what I mean? Like, it's starting to happen. I'm watching him play with his friends and go by his friends and shoot floaters. And he's watching basketball games with me. He's staying up late to watch the basketball games. Like, my dreams are coming true.
Oh, man.
They are coming with this. This
Don't
is
fuck
like,
it up by being too, like, aggro dad about it.
I'm not. Dude, he's the one that freaking gets me to the point where he's like, Dad, can we go play basketball again? I'm like, my God, I just played basketball with you 5 minutes ago. I'm done playing basketball,
that's
but
great.
Okay, let's go.
That's awesome.
You know what I mean?
Can't wait to try.
Yeah, it's a lot
I'm
of
just
fun.
Just telling you one thing. Don't get too into it. Or he will not want to play. Okay? All right, Ryan, we gotta go. Bye, Ryan. Thank you for coming.
I think we did it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Take care. Have a good one.
I'm going to be honest with you guys. I think we did it.
We did do it.
All
right. Well, thank you to Ryan, and thank you all to listening. Hey, there's new merch. This is the first episode where we can tell you, go to cottonbureau.com. There's a Joelle t-shirt. Ooh. You can finally have the queen on your shirt.
Yay.
There's an awesome drawing that we licensed from a beautiful artist of me riding Donald, and there's a thought bubble of an eagle. and there's the character names on a shirt. And I don't yell at me. People are already yelling at me, Donald, that says we didn't put Ted on the shirt. There was only room for a certain amount. We'll put Ted on the next shirt.
Ted will get his due.
I said the same thing when I saw the shirt. I'm just going to put it out there. But!
You didn't say it to me.
I know. I said it in my head. I was like, wow.
Oh, great. That's so helpful that you said it in your head. I see. He goes, I said the same thing. Oh, to me? No, in my head. Fucking asshole. All right. We love you guys. Thank you so much for listening. God. And we'll see you next time.
I don't tell you guys this enough. Daniel, Joel, Zach, I love you guys. Aww. I love you guys so much.
Love you, bro.
Wu-Tang forever. Wu-Tang forever.
Okay.
Zach.
And on that note, Zach. Shut it. 5, 6, 7, 8.
Stories about a show we made about a bunch of doctors and nurses and a